Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levin.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop from Washington. I'm your host, Mark Levin, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. Lots of news, of course. Every 3 hours, you've gotten more news about what our president is up to or not up to or hiding or refusing to do. The latest news, if you haven't heard already, is that Attorney General Jeff Sessions is now going to testify live before the Senate Intelligence Committee tomorrow, Tuesday at 2:30 p.m. I think this is all just a ratings ploy. They saw Comey get all those eyes on him. And, well, Sessions wants his time in the sun, too. And Donald, well, Donald's willing to sacrifice his entire presidency on getting better ratings. He himself has said that he's willing to testify under oath. Well, I'll give the Donald credit. If he indeed does testify under oath, I suspect he will have higher ratings than either Comey or Sessions. And frankly, I hope he does so. One of the best ways to catch a president, it's like to catch a predator, and he's kind of a predator. One of the best ways to catch a president, of course, is to have him, I'd say, or her, but we haven't elected her, is to have him testify under oath. Frankly, you may recall that Bill Clinton got in trouble, even though the questions they asked him had nothing to do with espionage or treason or hacking or giving away intelligence to the Russians, but merely whether or not he told all the details of his sexual dalliance, something that I think, frankly, many members of Congress might not want to share. But that was the thing that got Bill Clinton in trouble. They actually charged him with perjury. That Donald Trump has said that he's willing to testify under oath. Well, let me put it this way. His lawyers will tackle him rather than let him do this. But given the Donald, he may just come. I could just see him sort of showing up right before the microphone. One lawyer on one ankle, one lawyer on the other ankle. Kellyanne Conway kind of on his back. And he's like, no, no, I want ratings. I'm willing to go to jail as long as I get good ratings. And, well, obviously, I hope that happens. But the next scene or act in the play I call impeachment, will be Jeff Sessions, Attorney General, testifying tomorrow at 2:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You're not going to want to miss that. I've already given an I. Hopefully, we get to an IM. Can you spell impeachment? My question for you today, as we go through what's happened, what has yet to happen, and certainly I take your calls at 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. The question I have for you is Donald Trump corrupt? Is he crazy? Is he creepy? Or is he incompetent? I tried for complete alliteration. Frankly, I tried dumb or stupid, but neither had a C in it. Incompetent had the C. So cretinous didn't really work for me. So is he corrupt, crazy, creepy, or incompetent? And, of course, you can decide your own. Or your own adjective. You know what? If you've got your own adjective for Donald Trump. The main ones, though, I think are corrupt or incompetent. Is he evil or is he stupid? And there's a great debate going on here, mostly among the president's staff as to which he is. You may recall when James Comey testified that Donald Trump obstructed justice. Oh, wait, Mark, no, he didn't say obstruct justice. No, he didn't use those three words. He just said that the president told him to call off a pending investigation into the corruption of him and his staff. Oh, but he wasn't personally under investigation. No, not at that time. He is now. But when you call off an investigation into the things you're doing wrong, that's clearly obstruction of justice. And James Comey, after saying the president lied 3 or 4 or 5 times, basically led us right up to that water, kind of pushed us in and dared us to drink. The point is that when that happened, The Republicans in Congress did something very interesting. They didn't call former FBI Director James Comey a liar. No one challenged his credibility. This is the G-man who, as soon as he's done with talking with the president, he feels like this is a guy who's probably lying to him. So he rushes out to his car to type on a laptop all his everything he can remember about that. No one challenges his credibility other than, well, Donald Trump, who simultaneously argues, and I guess you have to be a Trumpist to understand this kind of logic, simultaneously argues that James Comey vindicated him by telling the truth, which is that he told Donald Trump he wasn't under investigation, and was both lying the entire time with all that other stuff, I guess, that he said. So, according to Donald Trump, this honest man vindicated me. He is such a liar, you can't trust him. And he actually made that argument in a single tweet. In 140 characters, he managed to say two contradictory things. You got to give the guy credit. It's really, really hard to lie that badly. And part of the question for Donald Trump, and the one that I want you to help me to resolve today, is, again, is he evil or is he stupid? Is he corrupt or is he incompetent? The Republicans are not challenging, another C, the credibility of James Comey. They're challenging whether Donald Trump is truly corrupt. They say, well, as Paul Ryan said, no, Trump isn't corrupt. He's just an idiot. We have a presidential idiot. He's learning on the job. He didn't realize that you're not allowed to call off an investigation to yourself. He had no idea that that was wrong. Apparently, despite the fact that he's got a White House counsel, an Office of Legal Counsel, and an Attorney General, and Jeff Sessions, and whatever Jared Kushner knows, and whatever Steve Bannon knows, and some Obama holdovers, he just didn't realize you couldn't do that. He had never heard of Richard Nixon. He didn't know that a president actually got an article of impeachment passed the House Judiciary Committee on obstruction of justice. He had no idea there was anything wrong with this. He's an idiot, the Speaker of the House tells us. The president is a fool and an idiot, an ignoramus. Those aren't my words. These are Paul Ryan's words. And that's the best thing he can say about him. Because, you see, the alternative is that he's corrupt. The alternative is he's trying to obstruct justice. The alternative is that he's committing an impeachable offense. So rather than say he's an evil authoritarian dictator, they say he's an ignorant boob. He's a fool. He's incompetent. It's okay, America. Rest easy. Sleep well. You have a chimp and the White House. And I apologize because I know many chimps are very intelligent creatures. So please, animal rights activists, I have nothing against chimps. So I want to be very clear there. I once called Donald Trump a child, and then I remembered, you know, most children are far better behaved. Which brings me to the creepy question. Maybe he's just creepy. I mean, February 14th, Valentine's Day, he tells Jim Comey, stay away from your wife. Don't go home for Valentine's Day. Cancel that date. You've got a date with me. Right? He says to James Comey, I'm going to have your... I can't do the Donald Trump accent. I wish I could. I'd be better at this. I'll try to do the little hand thing, but no, you can't. I'm going to have your family over for dinner someday, but not today. Today, just be you. And James Comey expects, you know, a room full of people that he wants to talk to. No, it's just him and Donald alone in the green room around an oval table, served by two Navy stewards who serve him and then run out the door. Great witnesses, by the way. I want to know if it's by candlelight. They're already talking about the courtship of Jim Comey. You know, I guarantee you this is not the first time Donald Trump's done this. Think of all those women that tell you how he touched them inappropriately. Do you think it might have begun the same way? Hey, come on up to my room. We'll have a candlelight dinner. And at that dinner, again, the creepiness accelerates, right? He asks Jim Comey for loyalty. Loyalty. Now, what does loyalty mean? He doesn't say, James Comey, I want you to do your job. I want you to be competent. I want you to respect the Constitution. I want you to do the right thing. No, he says, I want loyalty. Loyalty to me, obviously, is the implication. And I really hope, you'll see fit to help out Mike Flynn. He's a good guy. He's a good guy. Yeah, he may be a Russian spy, but he's a good guy. Yeah, he lied under oath to everybody. But, you know, he's a good guy. Yeah, he caused the vice president to say a bunch of lies. But, you know, he and Vladimir are best pals. They get along really well together. Yeah, he didn't disclose a bunch of money. But I hope you can see fit to letting him walk. Now, you may recall the Republicans on the committee, notably Senator Risch of Idaho, he centered on those words, I hope. Donald Trump didn't order James Comey to drop the investigation of Michael Flynn. That would be a bad thing. No, he just said, I hope you'll consider giving that guy a chance. Kind of like when the Mafia Don says, I hope you'll bring back the $1 million you owe me, because I hope that your kneecaps won't be broken. And I really hope that your wife and kids will have you live a very long time with them. I really, really hope that's true. Does anyone doubt what the president was doing? Do Republicans think we're really that stupid? Can you imagine, just for fun, can you imagine? It's unimaginable, so you really have to put your mind in a special place. Imagine that Hillary Clinton, President Hillary Rodham Clinton, what a sweet sound. Imagine that President Hillary Rodham Clinton gave classified information of the heaviest security to our greatest enemy. I mean, they were mad that she was basically talking about her schedule, on an email with her aide, Huma Abedin, that they were afraid someone's going to hack that never hacked. But imagine she gave our most secret confidential information, the kind that got a terrorist killed from our allies in the Middle East, to the Russians. Is there any doubt that she would have been impeached yesterday? Heck, a month ago? But, you know, you hear the Republicans. Donald, poor sweet Donald. He's not corrupt. He's just incompetent. He's just learning on the job. He has no idea what it's like to be president. He didn't know that there were laws. He didn't know that there were ethical standards. He's never obeyed ethical standards in his life. How is he to know that you can't do this kind of thing? Is he crazy? I mean, again, he's offered to testify under oath. I'm going to leave it up to you to decide whether he's corrupt, crazy, creepy, or incompetent. But on the corrupt angle, please note, news this morning, the Attorney General of the state of Maryland, the Attorney General of the District of Columbia, are suing Donald Trump. They're suing him for a violation of the Emoluments Clause of the Constitution. The Constitution says that no one holding office can take a present from a foreign government. You also can't take titles of nobility, and it can't be from a prince or a king. But the heart of it is, you can't take a present or emolument, that's what an emolument is, something worth money, from a foreign government. Well, foreign governments are giving all kinds of presents to Donald Trump, or to Jared Kushner, or to Kushner's sister, or to Ivanka or Eric, or God knows who. Heck, Barron may be the only one not getting presents from foreign countries. I'm not sure. That's corrupt, my friends. And this is the first lawsuit I'm aware of in American history where a state is actually bringing a lawsuit under the Emoluments Clause. So we're going to find out more than disclosing classified information to the Russians, more than firing Jim Comey for failing to end the investigation into Mike Flynn, more than the creepy Valentine's Day courtship of Jim Comey, more than Jeff Sessions, the Attorney General, and his ties to the Russians. So that's going to be tomorrow's topic. That'll be a lot of fun. But maybe we will finally get Donald Trump's tax returns. Maybe we'll finally find out why Jared Kushner was talking with the Vladimir Putin-controlled Russian bank. You see, my friends, we've only had an eye in impeachment, and I got 10 letters yet to go. Call in if you want, 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275. Is he corrupt, crazy, creepy, or incompetent? The choice, my friends, is up to you. Be right back after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levin. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levin.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin. So is Donald Trump corrupt, crazy, creepy, or incompetent? Yeah, I know the answer is all of the above. But hey, I'm asking you to focus on one or the other. What I find interesting, though, is that the Republican Party, and it's really, I mean, it's third in line to the presidency, the Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, really the institution of the Republican Party, is actively saying he's just incompetent. Right? Don't worry, America, he's not corrupt, crazy, or creepy, although I think Paul Ryan might just say he's creepy, but he's incompetent. Relax. Your president is only incompetent. Let's play the clip from Paul Ryan.
As far as the conversations and all of that, I'm not going to speculate on any of this. I would just add that, of course, there needs to be a degree of independence between DOJ, FBI, and a White House, and a line of communication is established. The president's new at this. He's new to government. And so he probably wasn't steeped in the long-running protocols that establish the relationships between DOJ, FBI, and White Houses. He's just new to this. What I got out of that testimony is, we now know why.
Poor Donnie. Poor Donnie. He's just new to this. Oh, it's so hard for him. He didn't know the presidency would be so hard. It's just really difficult. And he didn't realize that the FBI director was supposed to be independent. And he didn't realize that he wasn't supposed to quash an investigation. And he didn't know that Richard Nixon was up on articles of impeachment for the same thing. And he didn't know. He's new, you know? I mean, it's kind of like a surgeon, a guy walking into surgery who's never done surgery before, right? I don't know, maybe he's a really good auto mechanic, and he's just now going to do surgery on you. And relax, relax. Yeah, he might cut the wrong limb, but he's never done it before. Give the guy a chance. We need a little more time. Come on, we have pre-K, right? We have Head Start, you know? We have people have learner's permits before they learn to drive. Donald Trump's just learning how to be the president. Give the guy a break, right? One day he'll get it. One day he'll figure it out. One day he'll learn the truth. He's not corrupt. Yeah, he's not disclosing his tax returns, but he's not corrupt. Yeah, he's putting his family in power. Yeah, but he's not corrupt. Yeah, he's having weird private courtships of the FBI director to get convince him to shut down investigations. No. He's not crazy. Yeah, he can't stop tweeting despite the fact that basically his staff is begging him not to. You know, the fact that he didn't tweet for 46 hours, he didn't quite make it to 48, but for almost 2 days while Comey was testifying, is being touted by his staff as his great accomplishment. FDR had the New Deal, Truman had NATO, and Donald Trump has almost not tweeting for 48 hours. Have the standards gone down a little? We'll be right back with your calls after this. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275, back after this.
Back to the Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I am your host, Mark Levine. Is he corrupt, crazy, creepy, incompetent? Pick your own adjective. The Republicans are saying, don't worry, America, he's only incompetent. Don't worry, America, he's just too stupid to know the job. Don't worry, America, he has no idea what he's doing. Don't you feel safer now? That's the best thing that can be said about our president. We can go down from there. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Let's go to Nick on line one in Arcata, California. Hey, Nick, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, Mark. Hey, listen, you know, I have to admit I picked all the above.
Yeah, I did too, frankly.
There's a few things that you kind of stand out, all right? Number one, it's not incompetence, it's greed.
That was kind of part of the corruption
we've ever had.
Yeah, I was trying for the alliteration.
Okay, corruption.
So corruption, right. Greed. Greed didn't begin with a C, but okay, keep going.
Okay. I think that's probably number one because the guy is focused totally on making money. Period. He didn't give a shit. Excuse me.
Yeah, be careful.
Care about this country.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't say anything bad.
No, I know. We have to bleep you if you do, so okay. don't do that.
I'm sorry. I was close. Anyway, but he doesn't care about this country. All he cares about is his bank account. You know what I'm saying?
Which is why the lawsuit by Maryland today is such a big deal. Because the Emoluments Clause has been in our Constitution for 228 years. But it's never really been challenged in the courts before. And since I agree with you, his greed is paramount for him. Trying to disclose all these gifts from foreign officials, his tax returns, he's going to really fight that. I think we're going to find that Donald Trump or Jared Kushner or both of them, or maybe Ivanka or one of the kids, who knows, has connections with Russia. Now, I don't think it's an investment in Putin. I think it's an investment in a shell corporation that owns shares of another shell corporation headquartered in Bermuda, which got pieces of another corporation in the Cayman Islands that owns a Russian bank that's loaning him billions of dollars. As they say, follow the money. But I really have little doubt that we will find eventually, and I trust Mueller to find what's going on. We will find that he has a connection to Russia. Frankly, that's the only thing I can get to explain why he's having a love affair with Vladimir Putin. Otherwise, why would he? Maybe he, unless he's crazy or creepy.
It's the money.
I think it's the money, too. Yeah. And I think we're going to find it. I haven't found it yet. I'm not doing the investigation. But I think so, too. And I think that Jared Kushner is a big part of that. Again, I'm speculating. I admit it. But to me, that's where they're eventually headed. So you would say greed is first. That's number one for him. All right. Got it. Thanks, Nick, for your call. I've got Mark in studio. He is my constituent from Alexandria.
Howdy.
Mark, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I was going to ask you, Mark, because I know we were talking the other day about executive privilege, and those are two words that we haven't really heard since the Nixon administration, but now it's coming up with increasing frequency. But, of course, this White House hasn't asserted it yet. So I have two questions, I suppose. Number one, what can we expect from the testimony of our distinguished Attorney General Jefferson Beauregard Sessions III when he testifies in front of the Intelligence Committee, what, tomorrow?
Tomorrow, 2:30 p.m.
Okay,
2:30,
must-see TV.
Yes.
That, you've got that. And why is he testifying? I mean, couldn't the White House just say no? Couldn't they assert executive privilege? They stop
That's
this?
That's a really good question.
Thank you.
So, no, it really is. So let's talk in general about executive privilege. It may shock some of you to know that I have no problem in general, hang on to your seats. I'm going to get to specific in a second. But I have no problem in general with executive privilege. The point of executive privilege is to allow the president and his advisors, or a governor and his or her advisors, to chat openly and honestly, to make decisions without fearing that the public's going to find out right away. And that's actually a good thing. If the question is to bomb this target or that target, or the question, frankly, is whether to have universal care or the public option, or the question is, you know, whether to build this bridge or that bridge, you want to be able to openly discuss things and say, you know, I think that's a stupid proposal, Mr. President, without offending the good people of South Dakota who, you know, put forward that proposal. You want to be able to give honest advice to the president. And if people know that every single word of theirs is going to be taken down, there's less likely to give honest advice. Side note, many of you know that in the Virginia General Assembly, I have promoted transparency, including cameras in the committees and the subcommittee rooms. And some people have said, well, Mark, don't you want people to have honest discussions? I do, but frankly, they can have those before they enter the committee or the subcommittee. Once you do the people's business, I think everything has to be on the record. But this idea that you should be able to have private conversations away from the public so you can make tough decisions, I agree with, except when it comes to a crime. And that's exactly the position of the United States Supreme Court. Prior to the landmark case U.S. v. Nixon, the 9-0 Supreme Court case that required Richard Nixon to turn over his tapes, it was unclear whether or not executive privilege applied in the case of an investigation of the president himself. And the Supreme Court ruled 9-0, that's every Republican and every Democrat on the court, that you can't use executive privilege to cover up a crime. So I agree with the Supreme Court. In general, I support executive privilege, but not when it's to cover up a crime. So let's turn to Jeff Sessions. If Jeff Sessions did nothing wrong, then he has the right to assert executive privilege.
If however he did things wrong, he doesn't. Now there's a bit of a catch-22 there, right? I said I did nothing wrong, so you can't find it out. But we want to know if you did something wrong. Well, that's executive privilege. So the Nixon doctrine, to me, because we didn't know until we heard the tapes that the president had ordered hush money. We didn't know before the tapes that he ordered the CIA to basically try to convince the FBI not to go after him, or the special prosecutor to go after him. The news was in the tapes. So I think it would have to be based on U.S. v. Nixon. If you have reason to believe that there may be criminal conduct, then, sorry, you lose executive privilege, at least for the purpose of determining whether or not a crime has been committed. You still keep it with regard to, do we support ISIS here or do we support Iran here? You know, or tough decision and neither one looks very good. Or do we, invest in this healthcare system or that healthcare system or, frankly, this tank or that plane? But when it comes to crimes, it seems to me you don't. Now, Jeff Sessions lied under oath to Congress when asked whether or not he spoke with the Russians. In fact, he even volunteered the response. A lot of people are giving Senator Al Franken of Minnesota all this wonderful credit. You asked Jeff Sessions the response that made him perjure himself. Sorry, Al. Actually, he didn't. If you listen to the quote, Al Franken asks about others, and Jeff Sessions volunteers under oath that none of them spoke with the Russians, and that I was a surrogate and I didn't speak with the Russians. He lied. Now we find out, at least through the Washington Post, apparently there are not just the two Sessions that he confessed to after becoming Attorney General. Apparently there's a third. We'll find out more tomorrow. But those of you that remember me talking about James Comey's testimony, remember that I flagged the part about Jeff Sessions. A lot of people didn't talk about that part of the testimony. I guess they did notice it. But when James Comey says, I can't talk about this in open session, that's code word for guilty, guilty, guilty. Okay? When he said, because he could just say, no, there's nothing wrong here. Right? Just like when they said to him, when they said the day before Comey's testimony, they said to Mike Rogers, the NSA director, they said to Dan Coats, the director of national intelligence, they said, can you tell me that no one tried to get you to call off this investigation? And they said, well, we can't talk about this. Why can't you talk about it? Well, it wouldn't be appropriate. The Admiral Rogers said, I just don't feel it's appropriate, to which Senator Angus King of Maine said, what you feel, Admiral, is irrelevant. The question is there a law that prevents you from telling me this? And Dan Coats said, well, I don't know of any law. They still didn't tell him. But Heinrich of Wisconsin, I think he's Wisconsin. Don't remember where Heinrich is from. Senator Heinrich, a Democrat, said it would be so easy for you folks just to tell us no. Just say no. No one ever asked us to lie. No. No one ever asked us to call off an investigation. And they're all like, well, we didn't feel pressured. Again, doesn't matter what you felt. Attempted obstruction of New Mexico. Thank you. Heinrich of New Mexico. Obstruction of justice, by the way, you don't have to achieve it. You just have to attempt it. Nixon did not successfully cover up Watergate.
He sure didn't.
I think we know about it. But his attempt to cover it up was obstruction of justice. So it doesn't matter what they felt. It matters what Trump did. And it would be very easy for them to say no. It would have been very easy for Comey to say, I don't know of anything wrong with Sessions. Instead, he said, I couldn't tell Sessions about this, because that's how it came up. Why didn't you tell Sessions about your inappropriate conversation with Donald Trump? He said, I told Sessions, I don't want to be alone with the guy. Please, please don't make me be alone with this guy again. But he wouldn't tell Sessions why. He didn't tell Sessions why, because he thought Sessions would recuse himself 2 weeks before he did. What made him think he would recuse himself? Comey said, I'm going to save that for open session. At that point, my ears perked up, and I said, aha, there's even more on Sessions than we know now. And that's what, obviously, other people came to that conclusion, and that's what's leaving the session tomorrow. So, did that answer your question?
Yeah, it certainly did. It certainly did. And let me ask this one last part here. Do you think there are tapes? I mean, do you think that Donald Trump was crazy enough, speaking of crazy, stupid, corrupt, whatever, do you think he was really crazy enough to actually wire the White House so he could record his own conversations like, Tricky Dick did?
I don't know. I don't know. I know that some of his business associates told me that he regularly taped phone conversations. What's interesting about taping, by the way, is that depending on the state you live in, it's legal. In Virginia, for example, folks, you should know this. I actually advised a friend of mine who was in a nasty divorce proceeding with his wife. You can tape a private conversation as long as one of the two of you know. In other words, if you're talking with someone, you know you're taping because you're taping them. You can do that in Virginia. You can't do that in 12 other states. Actually, you can't do it in Maryland. Linda Tripp illegally did it about Monica Lewinsky. I don't think she ever paid a price for it. So even the law in Maryland was violated by Linda Tripp, and she didn't pay a price for it. But in 38 states, including Virginia, you can legally tape as long as you do it. Now, you can't legally tape two people, you know, leave a microphone in the room and leave the room and have two people talk to each other without a warrant. But if you are part of a conversation, that's why the FBI can wear wires in most states. And if, of course, if they have a warrant, they can wear them anywhere. But so it's actually legal. I know it's legal in D.C. It would be profoundly unwise, but that's never stopped Donald before. I don't know. What's fascinating is he keeps being asked the question, and he keeps ducking it. He keeps ducking the question. Now, either he has the tapes or he doesn't. And if he has the tapes, you know, what is his game? So if he has the tapes, I do think that that's something where we're going to we're going to have very, very interesting things going
curiouser,
on here.
Curiouser and curiouser, as Alice said, as she descended down into the rabbit hole.
Yeah, one thing you should know is that the Secret Service was asked about the tapes. And apparently the Secret Service handled the tapes for Richard Nixon and for other past presidents. I think even Kennedy had some tapes. The U.S. Secret Service was asked directly if they had any tapes. They said they did not. So if Donald Trump is doing this, he's doing it personally, and he's going rogue, which I wouldn't put past him.
I wouldn't put anything past this man.
Folks, 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Is he creepy, corrupt, incompetent, or just plain crazy? Let me know your thoughts. 888-488-MARK right after this.
He's a Fulbright scholar, and he speaks French, but he couldn't tell you who won the Super Bowl. It's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. I should mention that today is the one-year anniversary of the Pulse shooting, the deadliest mass shooting in American history, the worst terrorist attack since September 11th. It's important to mention it. It's important to mourn the dead. I know that the rainbow community, the LGBT community down in Orlando, has not forgotten, nor has the nation forgotten. One group that appears to have forgotten is the administration, which so far has not, I believe, spoken out or even mentioned that anniversary. So let's hope they do that. He did tweet about it? All right. So one tweet. You'd think the White House would put out a statement or something. Anyway, I want to get to your calls. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Let's go to Link Line 3 in Taos, New Mexico. Hey, Link, how are you?
Hi, Mark. How are you doing?
I'm good. What's the answer? Is he evil or stupid or corrupt, crazy, creepy, or incompetent?
Oh, I think that we're basically all focused on all the wrong issues. there's a couple of things. One thing I want to draw people's attention to is he's getting a terrific amount of stuff done through Zinke and through all these other people who are making all these radical changes, the pipelines and everything else, while everybody's fascinated with him lying or not lying and all the rest of it.
He's getting things done through what? You said he's getting them done through what? What did you say? Through Zinke?
The Secretary of the Interior, the Secretary of the Interior, Zinke.
Okay.
That guy.
All right.
I mean, he's talking about, you know, leasing off all the lands and privatizing and doing all this other stuff, and it doesn't even make the news. So it's happening while we're all focusing on the Southern. But let me go to a point.
A lot of things are happening. It's one of the problems we have, and I'll get back to you in a second, Link, is that he's done so many terrible things in a short period of time, complete with things that are bewildering, incompetent, treasonous, etc., that it becomes very, very hard to focus on any individual thing. And that, frankly, either that's part of his plan or it's just happened that way. But go ahead. So you're talking about Secretary of Interior Zinke.
There's two things I'd like to call your attention. One is I call a Congressional Budget Office on the Republican health care plan, Trump Care.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, how many people will die as soon as he passes this? How many people will die in the first year as a direct result of the Republican health care plan? And they said, well, they didn't ask us to do that statistic. They just said, well, it'll knock 23 million people off. And I said, well, a bunch of them are going to die. You know that's going to happen.
That's right.
Because without health care, it's
tens
like
of thousands.
Withholding water, withholding medicine from a prisoner.
That's right.
A bunch of people will die. And I said, 1 million? 6 million? How many? They said, well, you know. I said, would you grant 1 million? And they said, well, probably. And I said, okay. But they said they didn't
That's only 5% of people without health care is 1 million. That's not, you know.
And so I said, but let me ask you a question. If you take an action knowing that it will cause the death of people, so that you tell them the showers are not are showers and not gas chambers, or whatever you tell them, it's wonderful, it's going to be beautiful health care, all this fact. The fact is a bunch of people will die, and if you commit an act to doing that, what that really is genocide. The Republican health care plan is genocide. It's just they don't call it.
I'd rather not call it genocide. I'll, if you want to call it mass murder, let's just leave that out because I don't think it's designed to kill a certain. Unless you say it's killing all the poor, but I don't want to play with semantics here. The point that you make is legitimate. That tens of thousands,
so
hundreds of thousands, lots of Americans are going to die if Trump Care becomes law. There's no question about it, and there
right.
I absolutely agree with you.
Let me shift gears and tell you. Here's what I think Putin got out of the deal. Okay. Have you seen a movie that's available in all the stores everywhere called Zero Day?
No.
Zero Day, it's available. I advise you to look at it. What it is the story of the worm created by the NSA to destroy the centrifuges in Iraq.
The Stuxnet
virus. It's an untraceable worm. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you should look at it because it's well documented and it shows exactly how those worms work. And they said that the 150 or so of these that the NSA created, which can blow up your nuclear submarine underwater or...
Okay, wrap it up because I got to get to one more caller real quick.
Okay. Well, the long and short of it is the Russians didn't have it, and I think that's what Flynn gave them.
Ooh, wow. That would be a really scary thing if that's true. Thank you for your call, Link. I appreciate it. Reggie, line two in Georgia, wrap us up here. Is Trump crazy, corrupt, creepy, incompetent? What do you think?
Well, he's all of the above, plus arrogant, condescending, egotistical, and yes, narcissistic.
So and I think you said you said also just plain stupid.
Yes, that too.
Yeah. Well, there's lots of adjectives here. Why do you think people, a third of this country, and it's only a third now, are still solidly behind him?
Well, because they're uneducated people who don't, you know, they're lemmings. They'll follow anybody with an R in their name who, you know, say the right thing to them. He manipulates people. They'll follow him like dogs follow, you know, smells of, you know, meat or something, you know.
Yeah, you know, some of it, it's very interesting to me. There's a poll that showed that at the time that Donald Trump won the Republican nomination, only 48% of Republicans called him honest and trustworthy. That's less than half of Republicans. A new poll taken just a few weeks ago after Comey, after all of this, I think it's a few days ago actually, showed that some 80% of Republicans find him honest and trustworthy. More find him trustworthy now than the time he won the nomination. That tells you that either they're not telling the truth or they're putting their party above their country. This is Mark Levine signing off.